My guest in the studio tonight is a drummer who has studied and performed with some of the best jazz artists Australia has to offer. Artists such as Judy Bailey, Dave Panichi, Dale Barlow, James Muller and Don Rader. After a stint in the UK working with Aaron Oss, the London Jazz Collective and the Oxford University Big Band, he now returns to launch his own album by his group Arrow. Paul Derricotte, welcome to Now's the Time.
Good evening. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Paul, you've got a quote on your website, and the quote on that website is, "I'm interested more and more in new music and distilling and unifying the purpose and the outcome of any music I play." Can you elaborate on that statement for us?
I guess a challenge that sort of an improviser or a music creator is constantly met with is identifying things that are unnecessary in the music that you're playing or writing. And I think just trying to remove distractions from the music that you're playing. So, I mean, that's more or less what I'm talking about when I say that sort of thing. It's a constant struggle to be true to what you're hearing in your performances, especially with improvised music. I mean, it's a difficult thing to do, but to be honest with it, I think takes a lot of courage to just play what you're hearing and feeling is quite a confronting thing. And I actually think that's where the best music is. And it's also perhaps a hard thing to do. I mean, for me, it's something that I struggle with a lot.
Can you describe that struggle to me more specifically? What's the dilemma there?
I think it's just finding out what is essential in the music that you're creating, or, you know, what it is that you want to say. It's trying to be concise. And, yeah.
Is it filtering out any influences that you may have?
I think so. I mean, I think influences are going to happen and they're apparent. And perhaps as you develop as a person and as a musician, the influences become maybe more subtle, and you develop your own voice. But it's more about, I don't think of it as being avoiding influences. I mean, that's I guess that is what it is, but the way I think of it is just trying to be honest and not trying to do things that have ulterior motives in the music, not trying to be grandiose when it's not necessary, but trying to convey whatever it is that you're hearing or you want the music.
Well, the title track there, it's quite a restrained sound, Big C. I'll go through the artists on the album. It's yourself playing the drums and composing all the pieces. Hugh Barrett was the piano player. Dale Gorfinkel on vibes. Simon Ferenczi on the trumpet. And Mike Majowski playing the bass. How did you become involved with music and in particular percussion, Paul?
I was lucky enough to be at a school that had a band program in the Northwest. I grew up in Castle Hill, and the school I attended had a band program. I actually started playing the saxophone, which I continue to play the saxophone still at a fairly rudimentary level. But that was my first sort of real interest in music. And when I got into high school, I decided that, you know, nothing good could come of the saxophone. You can only play jazz on the saxophone. I wanted to play in rock and roll bands. So
yep,
I started playing the drums, and I got really, really interested in the drums, and, you know, just trying to push my ability on the drum set. And I was still playing a lot of saxophone all the way through high school. And then when I finished at high school, I decided that I wanted to have a go at being a jazz drummer, and I was quite interested in playing jazz. So I auditioned to go to the Sydney Conservatory of Music, and that's where I learnt a lot about playing the drums.
Are the drums like other instruments where you do have, I guess naturally, you can have quite clear influences? Like, for example, the saxophone, obviously, John Coltrane has influenced so many, many people. What about drums? Who could you name as influences?
Well, I mean, you know, probably, I mean, there's lots. I mean, Sydney's an interesting place. I think it has a really strong drumming community. There's a glut of fantastic drummers in Sydney, and there seems to have always been quite a strong drummer representation. So I think, you know, I've been influenced by a lot of guys. I mean, it's hard to go past someone like Tony Williams for me. He's someone that, you know, I think is a big influence on me, and also probably the thing that I like in other players that I'm influenced by as well, is sort of their take on Tony Williams' thing. But I mean, when I was old enough to see guys playing around town, you know, like Andrew Gander or Simon Barker, initially those two guys, you know, they were probably some of the first guys that I saw playing jazz in Sydney. I mean, both those guys are incredible drummers doing entirely different things to one another. I mean, they're probably the first guys that I really got my head blown off by.
And it's a very interesting musician to watch, the drummer, isn't it? I mean, it seems to be the artist that you tend to be more drawn towards when you're seeing live music, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite theatrical. I think it's fairly dramatic. And I'm a drummer composer, but I think most drummers have a real strong sense of composition in their playing, just through the dynamics of the piece, even if they don't write. I think drummers really drive the band, and that's an interesting thing to watch happen, especially song to song. I mean, within a song, drummers are thinking about the dynamic and shape and flow of the overall piece, but on a set, drummers are thinking about, you know, song to song, the shape of the piece and the shape of the set as well, I think. Which I'm sure all musicians are, but I think the drums are placed well to sort of deal with that broad dynamic range. I mean, the drums have such an amazing dynamic range.
From the album called Far, Far, Paul, can you tell us how this one came about and what you were trying to achieve with Far, Far?
I think the title refers to just sort of being a little bit lost in thoughts and sort of, you know, wandering off into your own subconscious perhaps. And the piece is sort of based around a little rhythm diamond, which you hear at the top of the piece, which is a fun thing to play over. It's sort of an interesting sort of syncopated rhythm that we play on. So that's what this one's about.
Paul Dericotte, what aspects of your music do you think an audience is most moved by?
Well, that's a tough one.
It is, isn't it?
I mean, I think for me, perhaps it's being a drummer composer and not someone that's really dealing with harmony all the time and really dealing with melody all the time. I think for better or for worse, I think the melodic content of the music is really hopefully strong and quite simple. I mean, that's something that I like generally in music. That said, it's sort of subverted by shifting textures and forms underneath that. So I think you know, maybe at its best, my music is something that has a strong theme that you can listen to, but also has a lot of interest in the way that theme is dealt with and accompanied and changed. So I mean, that's why this playing with these guys is such an interesting thing, and playing this music with this particular band is something that I really enjoy doing, just because of how much it changes. But hopefully, you know, when it's on a good night, it's something that people that are interested in music can really appreciate, even if they're not that into the general aesthetic.
And how do you judge whether it's a good night or not?
Well, that's another hard thing. I think I think part of the thing that I've learnt about, you know, releasing a CD and perhaps one of the things you learn is as you grow up is sort of letting go of these things. And I think sometimes you have a bad night. That happens from time to time. Judging what's a good night and what's a good thing is really a difficult thing. I mean, what I try to do is I try and present what I'm hearing strongly as directly as possible. And if I'm happy with it, I think the only thing you can do is sort of stand behind your music and say, this is what it is, this is where I'm at, and I hope you enjoy it. And if you don't, then that's okay. Yeah. I guess on a night-to-night basis, that's kind of what you're doing. I mean, I'm not sure. The nature of the music is such that it's always changing. It's really hard to be really objective about it.
And you're the composer of all the pieces on this album. It's your music. Does composing come easy to you?
For me, composing comes in fits. You know, it's just sort of, I won't write for a little while and then I'll write three pieces or four pieces.
And as a drummer, do you compose on the piano? Or?
Yeah, I generally compose on the piano. Sometimes I'll hear things while I'm practicing something on the drums. Some sort of melody will sort of start playing in my head, and I'll jump on the piano and write it. Yeah, I normally sit down at the piano and write.
I want to know why you think music is beneficial to society. almost a political question, I guess, given that Tony Abbott recently said that we were funding the arts in Australia to a satisfactory level. Do you think music is received differently in Western society than...
I think music is very important to society in... That's a tough question. I think it gives people respite and time to reflect and imagine and all those important things. It's funny, you know, I think recently I feel like this has been happening to me. You know, I've been really busy doing lots of things and haven't really had a lot of reflective time to sort of sit down and think about where I'm at and, you know, just to sort of reflect. I think the arts in general give us that time, even if we're just watching a movie or listening to some music. It gives us a chance to sort of slip into our subconscious and maybe relate to things through metaphor or whatever on hopefully a deeper level. And I think being such a lucky country and, you know, generally a lucky society, it's really important that we do these things to promote society and develop as people are.
Sometimes I get the feeling that we may take it for granted a little bit and I guess use it as an ornament or a decorative pastime. Maybe I'm saying we don't value it as well as we should.
I think there's definitely, I mean, that happens a lot. As a working musician, you see that a lot. People just not being, you know, maybe being at a jazz gig because it's a cool place to be and not being engaged in the music at all. And that's a shame. But, you know, that's part of the deal, I guess. I mean, Sydney's lucky. We've got an amazing scene. I think having spent some time in the UK and sort of travelling around a little bit, Sydney's scene is really world-class. It's a really strong aesthetic. There are people here that are really innovative and are really important on the worldwide music scene. You know, and I'm probably speaking mostly from a jazz, you know, headset, but we should really check it out and be involved with that because it is a really special thing.
What's on the horizon for you?
I'm going to try and tour this. Hopefully, early next year, we'll do a bit of an East Coast run. And then a few other projects kicking about that'll also hopefully be busy. I mean, you know, you've got to have a few things on the boil to stay busy. But, yeah, I think Arrow will definitely do a bit of touring as long as we can align the diaries and clear a bit of space for everyone. But, yeah, look out for us heading down to Melbourne, hopefully early next year.
Paul Dericot, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.